What's going on, City Life? It's great to be here with you all. So Jesus has this refrain in Scripture, and I love the way Eugene Peterson captures it in The Message. Eugene Peterson says it this way: are you listening? Really listening? That Jesus says that to his disciples. So let's begin right there. Listen. Give this your attention. That's what Jesus said, for ears don't always hear. Sometimes they're along for the ride. And a body can be present without the mind. So fixate now on what is near. Focus. Examine. Put your mind to this and see what happens. Listen, really listen. Lean in to hear the still, small voice of our colossal God, the calculated whisper of his gargantuan presence, whose hushed tones make hearts halt and pivot. The right life hinges on this capacity to listen, really listen. Let's pray. Lord, we are here to hear from you. Jesus, we are in your presence. We're going to open your word, and we ask that you would give us a heightened awareness of what it is that you want to speak right now in this place, in this hour, in this minute, in this moment, as we draw near to listen. Lord, we are going to really listen. Help our hearts and our minds to be open to what it is that you have for us. Let us not leave here as we have come in. Let us leave here challenged, refocused, renewed, repurposed for your kingdom and your glory. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so this weekend we have been talking about what I call caterpillar soup. Those of you who haven't been with us, I'm going to catch you up. It's like the Cliff Notes version of the retreat. Are you ready for it? Here it is, three images. The first one is the cute little caterpillar. But don't be fooled by that, because what we've been talking about this weekend is how every new beginning actually starts with an ending. And maybe you realize it and maybe you don't, but the caterpillar actually has to decide to curl up and put itself into the chrysalis. The caterpillar initiates that work. And until the caterpillar does that, the next thing can't begin. And so on Friday night, we talked about how we're tempted sometimes because it's comfortable and we know it, and we know what it feels like to crawl. We're tempted to hold on to the crawl in some parts of our lives. And we're tempted to stay there, and here is my word of warning for you. If you're tempted to stay there, I want you to know that we talked about on Friday that you're now, when you are too much holding on to it, it can actually block your next. And so we need to step back from that and offer it up, to be willing to let go of whatever the thing is that we've been holding on to, so that we can be remade in whatever that place is. So that is the caterpillar. And then we talked this morning about the chrysalis, and that's where this idea of caterpillar soup comes from. Did you know that when a caterpillar curls itself up, promise I'm not going too deep on the science, we call it caterpillar soup because that caterpillar has to actually disintegrate, and then something happens on the inside of that chrysalis. What happens on the inside is that the caterpillar has these imaginal discs, that's really what they're called, imaginal discs that come to life and form to create the butterfly. That's what's happening when it looks like from the outside nothing is happening. So we talked about the chrysalis, and we talked about how there's this big lie when you're in the chrysalis. There's this big lie that the enemy really wants you to believe, that it's meaningless to be there, because things don't look like they're happening on the outside. Well, we talked about how that's not true, because waiting time in God's economy, it is never wasted time. And God is working things out and always working, so that your waiting time is actually packed with purpose. It's intentional. in every way because we serve a God who is intentional. And now tonight, we get to the show. We get to the show. The show is what I'm calling that space where the butterfly breaks out. That space where something new is beginning. Isn't that exciting? Because let me tell you, the caterpillar could never imagine. I'm just getting into the caterpillar's brain tonight. The caterpillar could never imagine that one day that little guy might fly. No imagination for that. And in the same way, in our lives, when things are working out, often spiritually, we lack the imagination for what God is doing. We can't even perceive it. We don't know. And so in the book of Isaiah, when it says, hey, I'm doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? It springs up. We say, I don't perceive it, God. I don't actually. True story. But that's okay. We don't have to perceive it. We do have to be obedient as it unfolds. And that is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the show. So there's been a lot of these analogies about caterpillars, chrysalises, butterflies. It's feeling a little girly up in here, so let's shift gears. Let's shift gears. I was in my garage just this past week, and this is what happens when you're working on a message. Suddenly everything becomes fodder for it. That's how it goes, okay? Am I right? Am I right down here? Yeah, I'm right. Okay, so I'm in the garage, and this is what's happened. My husband has taken two of our kids skiing. Isn't that fun? Because I value keeping my body intact, I stayed behind, and he took my car, and so I had his car. Now, I'm not used to driving his car, and so I head out. It's dark. I'm in the garage. It's even darker. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm reaching, and I'm like, where is the start button? Where's the, because it's not where the start button is in my car, and you know, I was getting frustrated because I just wanted the thing to go, like just turn it on and let's go. How often spiritually do we feel that way? God, I've been in this place of waiting. I've been here. If I could just find that push button and boom, let's go. And I want you to understand as we start our time tonight that the show is less of a push button mechanism and more of a process. And there is a reason for that, and we're going to look at that tonight. But if you come in thinking that this is going to be push button in any way, let me tell you what I mean by push button. Let's enumerate that a bit. Sometimes in my life, I have prayed, oh, Lord, could you just please skywrite it, what the thing is you want me to do? Anybody else ever pray that? Yeah. Just me? Oh, God, could you just open up a scroll and drop it down with some directions? Because I feel a little confused. Going back briefly to our butterfly metaphor, I'm not sure what to do with these wings. I'm in a new space, God. I'm not quite sure what it looks like to be here. I'm not quite sure how to step through this. Could you just tell me in detail? But God does not typically work that way. I'm going to prove that to you tonight. So, grocery store. Been in the grocery store lately? All right, I frequent like 4 grocery stores. It's a real problem. Like different ones. Do you guys have a favorite? Do you have one that you're faithful to? Or are you like me? Trader Joe's. Oh, that is a good one. That's one to be faithful to. Okay. No, but they're on my list, but I'm not faithful to anyone. No, I'm going to all sorts of them because I have favorite things at every place. And what this means is that I'm not totally acclimated to any grocery store. So when I go in, I'm always looking for something and I can never seem to find it because I don't know which store I'm actually in. That's what happens, true. So then I have to find someone to help me. And depending on the kind of store that I'm in, I might find all different kinds of people, right? And so I ask, can you show me where the ketchup is, for instance? Or can you tell me where the ketchup is? And the person will do one of two things. Either they will say, ketchup is somewhere between aisle 8 and 9. It might be on an end cap. It's probably about 2 rows up. And then they go right back to what they were doing. Or they might say, oh, sure, come with me. Which one do you prefer? I prefer the latter. I really prefer the latter. Because come with me means you're going to actually make sure I get it. You're going to actually come along and make sure I find it, right? So God is more like that second variety and less of the first. And there's a reason for that. Telling can be transactional. Isn't that true? I can tell you something. You can take it or leave it. I've done my part. Do your thing. Go or don't go. Telling can be transactional, but showing is rooted in relationship. Showing is always relational. It means I'm going with. It means we're in it together. And we serve a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is rooted in relationship. And so when I pray, God, drop it out of the sky and let me see it. Skywrite it. Listen, that's not usually how God shows up. Because you know why? He's about relationship. He's not going to drop it down and I'm going to know every piece and part. He's going to show me. Because our God has a history of showing. Now I'm going to prove that to you because that's a big claim. Two case points for this. One is scripture, and the other is a life of watching and learning alongside people who are growing in Christ-likeness. So first, I'm just going to briefly reference that many testimonies, including my own, involve this relationship with a showing God who unfolds things piece at a time, piece at a time. I had a conversation last week with a good friend who is on a new journey. She's in the show. And you know what's happening? She's getting it piece by piece by piece. You know why? Because God is relational. And he's showing her one piece at a time. But I also see it in scripture, Genesis 12, 1. Abraham, God says to Abraham, go, leave your family, leave your people, and go to a place I will show you. Oh, really, God? Could you not just tell me the GPS? I want to plug it in. I want to be able to get there. I want to know where I'm going. I want to see the turns. But that's not what God did, is it? That's not what God did. 1 Samuel 16:3 is another example. Samuel is going to anoint, right, the next chosen leader that God is choosing, and he says, hey, go to Jesse and set up the sacrifice, and then I will show you. I'll show you what to do. Now, if I'm Samuel, I'm like, seriously, God, like, I'm real faithful here. I'm one of your guys. Could you not just tell me in advance? Could you not just give me a heads up? Who's going to be the guy? Which one? Is it going to be the guy out in the field? Because I kind of want to know that curveball, right? But that's not what God does. He says, no, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 33, 3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. I will show you. Even the psalmist knows to pray this way. Show me, God. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. The psalmist knows how to approach this relational God because God has a history of showing. That's fine about the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? What about the New Testament? Let's prove it out there. Jesus. Jesus says, come and follow me. We'll start with that. And he says, follow me. Jesus, I looked at this today to make sure, 22 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to people. Follow me. That's pretty relational. That's like the one who takes you to the thing. Not the one who says, oh, go find it. It's over there somewhere. That's not the way Jesus does it either, is it? Jesus says, follow me. Come with me. Come, see. That's who Jesus is. So if God has been this way, we should expect that God will be this way. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. So if God has this history of showing, we shouldn't expect it to be any different. So we will receive our understanding of what comes next from this God who is highly relational. And showing always happens in relationship. So we're going to look at an example in Scripture of how this sort of showing happens. But before we do, I need to tell you something, and this is very important. There's this word, this Greek word, telos. It means like the end or the goal or the aim. And this is very, very important. When we're in relationship with God, our telos cannot be the show. Our telos cannot be the thing that God is unfolding. Our telos is always and only God. He is the goal and the aim. And if ever I make that thing the goal and the aim, I am misplacing my focus. It can be so exciting when God is doing a new thing. And sometimes I have to be checked in this. So I'm bringing my check to you. Let's all check ourselves. God is the telos. So with that in mind, what does it look like to be in this relationship that enables me to know how the next thing is going to unfold? What does that look like? I really appreciate a passage in the book of John, the 15th chapter, and I bet you know it very well. I'm going to read a portion of it, but I'm going to ask you to focus with me on a word. I'm going to ask you to focus with me. I'm reading from the NIV, so the word is going to be remain. Now, I didn't know the kids were going to get dismissed, so I was all excited about giving the kids something to do, but now I'm going to ask you to do it, grown-ups. I just want you to listen for the word remain, and let's see how it goes. All right, so Jesus is talking, and he starts out this whole passage by saying, I'm the true vine. You know this. Don't check out. Don't do it. I'm the vine, and my Father is the gardener. Okay, and so he goes on to talk about that. I'm picking up in verse 4. I'm the vine. You are the branches, Jesus says. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I'm going to stop there. How many times has Jesus used that word? 11, someone got it. 11 times in a very short 6 verses. 11 times. That's significant. That's really significant. So let's understand that word. The word is meno. That's the Greek word, meno. And here's what it means. Meno means to stay, to abide, or to remain. Okay. So that's helpful a little bit. Let's go deeper. Eugene Peterson translates it this way. To take up residence in, or to make your home in. That's the way he describes it. That's more helpful to me. It's like when you move, right? And you get excited about that new place, and that's now your residence. That's what it's like to be in Jesus. It's like you have this home base that is your home base, and it's the place you go. This idea also means mutual indwelling. Now, that's a little complicated because human to human, we can't actually do it. It's a human divine idea. Human divine. And so that makes it harder to get our heads around. So I brought a word picture because I'm all about metaphors and they help me a lot. So here it is. Are you ready for it? Kitchen sponge. Some of us are more acquainted than others with these, but this is called a kitchen sponge. So, you know, these things, they dry out, they get hard, they get a little crunchy if you don't use them. True story. So, we are like this kitchen sponge, right? And in this analogy, Jesus is like this water. Now, here's what sometimes happens for us as Christians, as Christ followers, when we're in a church community. We come and we have a great little experience on a Saturday night, and then we go the rest of the week. And then we come the next Saturday night, and we have a little experience. Yep. Oh, that was good, Jesus. And then we go the rest of the week. And if we keep doing that, the question I have for you is this ever going to be saturated? No, it is not. No, it is not. But listen, when we come on Saturday, and then we keep engaging through the week, right? All of a sudden, this sponge, it starts to fill up with water. And now I can ask you this question. Is the water in the sponge? Yes or no? Is the water in the sponge? It's not a trick question. And is the sponge in the water? Oh, that's mutual indwelling. That's mutual indwelling. See, you and I, we can't do this with each other, but we can do this with God. Now, here is what is so important to understand about this mutual indwelling opportunity, this remaining opportunity that we have. This is for me where it really starts to hit home. So I do this, I'm doing this, I'm spending the time, I'm with Jesus, I'm experiencing his presence, I'm filling up with him, right? By the way, I consider this in two parts. I think this is both an intentional drawing away, and this is throughout the day renewal. That's what this looks like in the life of an active Christ follower, that it is something that I'm drawing away for, and it is something that I'm experiencing regularly throughout my day. So if that's the case, then this is what happens. Life comes, you know how it does, and you get squeezed. You know what comes out? What was in that sponge again? Wasn't just any water, was it? Whatever you've been soaking up is what comes out when you get squeezed. So if you want to have a life that when you get squeezed, Jesus comes out, if you're not here, that's not going to happen. Whatever you've been soaking in, that's what comes out. So when we talk about God showing us what's next, because he's a God of relationship, if we're not in the water, we're gonna miss the things he wants to show. Because he works with us in relationship, and the more time we're focused with him and the more intentional we are about this mutual indwelling, the better the chance that we will understand exactly where he wants us to be. Those nudges, they come as we spend that time. You know, someone was just telling me at the door about a friend that they felt like they wanted to text, and that friend came up on their heart. And then they had another prompt to do that. That happens because that person is in the water. You don't think about random friends to text or people that have challenged you to text if you are not in this place. That happens because you're spending the time. Those nudges, they come because you're invested in the right places. Meno, to abide. Jesus invites us to it 11 times in just a few verses. How important is it? I would say it's very important. Our relational God invites us to this. And here's what happens when we spend that kind of time remaining. Now that we've defined that, I feel like I can use that word, remaining. So when I talk about that, I'm talking about spending this quality time with God. This pure time with God. When we are there, here's what happens. We're with God and we start to receive progressive revelation. What do I mean by that? I mean that our great God loves us so much that he shows himself to us all the time. The question is, are we looking for it? The question is, are we open to it? Are we seeking what he has? Are we spending the time to cultivate the relationship so he can show us who he is? That's how he works. Progressive revelation. This is so exciting. This means as I spend time with him and remembering that he is the telos, he is the aim, I begin to see more and more of who he is. And that is like working a giant puzzle. We just keep getting pieces. But it's like working a puzzle with the person who made the puzzle because the pieces make sense. It's not senseless pieces. It's like working along someone who says, oh, I'll turn it this way. Ah, yeah, there it is. There, oh, have this one. Yep, turn that. Yep, there it is. Here's a corner. That's the kind of God we serve. Progressive revelation happens when we spend time remaining. Anytime God reveals himself to us, it requires a response. And the response is reorientation. Every single time. You know why? Because we're human. Last time I checked, I'm totally human. How about you? If we are human, we are going to fall short of what God shows us. So every time he shows himself to us, we have this opportunity to respond. And those responses, that's what we call discipleship. Discipleship is literally just responding obediently to what God shows me. So my favorite metaphor for spiritual life is the Nest thermostat. Who has a nest in their house? Some of you got a nest. All right, it's good. It's good, sort of. You turn it and it tells you how long till you get there. I say sort of, because if you have teenagers like me, they're cold in the morning and they spin that dial like they're just, I don't know, you know, trying to win a jackpot or something. I come and I'm like, wait, no, this cannot be, turning it back. But if you've ever spun a nest, it tells you, hey, it's going to take a little bit of time to get there, right? But progressive revelation means it's like a nest is turning just one click at a time. And that's what discipleship is like. It's like turning the nest one click at a time. It's not like spinning it from one end to the crazy other. It's just like asking this question, what does it look like to be obedient today? That's the question of progressive revelation. What does it look like, God, to be obedient right now in this space, in this time? That is the question. All right, so as we remain, we receive progressive revelation. That gives us opportunities to reorient, and it requires obedience. We're almost home. I got one more idea for you. Just one more. We okay on time? All right, we're doing okay. Good. Here it is. Being in motion is more important than you may realize. So, throughout history, God has shown his people what it looks like to be in relationship. And he does the same with us. So if God has this history of showing, the second thing we need to know is that we learn by going. We learn by going. Here's what I mean by that. If you've ever been in a car, and I know many of you, most of you have. You got here that way. If you've been in a car and you've been behind the driver's seat, question for you. Is it easier to turn that car when it's off or when it's on and moving? What's an easier correction? When it's moving. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the places that I see people get tripped up is that they get to this point of the show, but they just keep circling and waiting for more details. More details, God. Give me more details. And that can look a lot like, tell me, tell me, tell me. But remember that God's about showing, and that means we have to be going. We're moving with him. And does that mean we might sometimes misstep? Yeah, we might. We might sometimes get it wrong. Guess what? He's a very big God. He's infinitely creative, and he will help you course correct. And if, as you go, you are spending time here, you'll know if there's course correction that is needed. So we learn by going. Fear would want us to stay in a place of inaction. The enemy would want you to stay in a place of inaction. But that is not the way that we learn best. We learn by actually going. So I just believe that there's someone here tonight who has been feeling nudged toward a direction, but you're struggling to start for whatever reason. And here's what I want to say to you. Don't wait. Don't wait. You've been nudged. Start to move in obedience. Start to step out. And you know what? If you don't get it exactly right, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because remember, there are going to be many opportunities to reorient along the way. But if you just sit waiting for more, that is not the life in motion that allows us to learn. Discipleship is action-oriented. We've got to be going and doing when we are told to do so. So don't sit on it. When God offers you a place of obedience, respond to it. Be open to it. Put yourself out there in it. Going requires courage. Do you know that in the Bible it says, do not fear? I'm sure you know this, 365 times. It's like once for every day. Over and over and over, we get that message, right? Why is that? Because this world is a fearful place, isn't it? Don't you often worry about stepping wrong or doing it wrong? But listen, be of great courage, because God is faithful, and He will show you. He's not just one who tells transactionally and says, good luck. He's one who goes with you every step of the way. We learn by going. The question is, what does obedience look like today? What does it look like for you right now where you are to turn the nest one click? What are you being invited to in this time that would enable you to take a step forward? You know, maybe for some of you, this is about this whole concept of abiding, right? Remaining, whatever word you want to use, indwelling with Jesus. Maybe that's where it is for you. And maybe for you, your takeaway is, I need to be much more intentional about this. Because the more I draw near to God, the more I'm going to understand where I am called to be in this world. For some of us, we've been sitting on whatever obedience is. Sitting on it because we fear misstepping. Or because we just want a little more info. And then it comes again, another nudge. And well, we just want another confirmation. And then it comes again, another nudge. Well, I need you to give me a sign, God. The truth of the matter is this. Signs often follow our obedience. I have experienced that time and time again. Signs come after. And I'm able to look at that and say, yep, I made that the right choice at that moment. There's my confirmation. More often than signs coming on the front end, they come on the back end. But because God is always walking with us and showing us what is next, we can be confident in stepping out with Him. So as our worship band comes back and we prepare to respond, I want to invite you to just think about a couple of things. What is your one click tonight? What's your one step? What's your next move? What's the place where you're feeling that you need to make a change, to reorient? Is there a place where God's shown Himself to you and you just haven't yet responded? What would it look like to respond to that right now, tonight? What would it look like to be obedient to that in this moment. God has great things planned for every single one of you. And from where I stand, I can say that with confidence because we serve a God who is faithful, a God who wastes nothing, a God who intimately knows you and who has plans for you. If you're ready for the show, here's your chance. Remain in his presence. Make the changes that he shows you. And step out in faith. Step out in faith. Let's pray together. Lord, as we move into this time, I ask that you would give us hearts of obedience, that you would help us, God, to not only hear, but to listen, to give this our attention, to be attentive, to fixate on the things that you have said, and to not simply brush those aside, but to respond. Because you are a God of relationship and you are always inviting us forward. Oh God, give us hearts that are ready to follow in the same way that Abraham did, in the same way that Samuel did, in the same way that those before us have. Give us hearts for who you are and how you are working, that we might join your work in the world. Thank you, God, for loving us right where we are and for not leaving us right where we are. Lord, we bring our whole selves to you in response. Speak, Lord. We're listening. It's in your name we ask all these things.